Welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. The great Billy Cobham on drums. It's going to be another great day, I'm telling you, another great day. Let me leave you with the music for just a few. Billy Cobham had drums all over the place, and he plays with the double bass drums, two bass drums instead of one. It's amazing when they make this look so easy. Yeah, we're going to be coming back to that. You know, we've got to come back to that. All right. What are we going to talk about today? Let's start out talking about drinking. Yeah, drinking. Not Kool-Aid, not lemonade, not tea, not water, but alcoholic beverages. And I want to ask you a question as we get ready to see what Medical News Today has to say about drinking. Just one drink. Would one drink have an impact on your brain? Or would you say that basically just one drink really doesn't do anything? Nothing at all. What would you say? What is your conclusion? Well, researchers actually find that just one drink can interfere with decision making. Now, before we go any further, I know you're probably wondering, okay, what kind of drink are you talking about? I know you said alcoholic, but are you talking about Mad Dog 2020 or some other super strong drink? Are you talking about, okay, let's follow it. Just one drink can get in the way of decision making. Researchers say that we don't need to guzzle an entire bottle of vino in order to cause problems for our cognition. Just one single alcoholic drink has the power to mess with our minds. We're just not aware of it. You know how we humans are. A lot of times we just assume that if we're not aware of something happening, it's not happening. Not necessarily, ladies and gentlemen, not necessarily. Sometimes something is going on and we just don't know it. I mean, think about this now. Think about it. High blood pressure. We can have, you know, people are constantly having their blood pressure going up, and they know nothing about it until maybe they go to the doctor and the doctor checks those vital signs and discovers that the blood pressure is higher than it should be. How about this? A person has prostate cancer. Don't experience any pain or anything like that. They have no idea. Just because we don't know, that doesn't mean it's not happening. Just because we're unaware, that doesn't mean it's not happening. Just because we're not aware of the fact that our decision making has been tampered with, just because we don't realize, these are the results of a study by researchers from San Diego State University, and they recently published them in the journal Plus One. The study involved 18 healthy social drinkers who all took part in a computer-based task that was designed to measure their cognitive control during distractions. The task measured their reaction time and accuracy when they were asked to press a button in order to match colored squares on a screen. Okay, here's your screen right in front of you. You're going to look at that screen and you're going to see colored squares. Match those colored squares up. We want to see how quickly you can do it, and we want to see how accurately you can match those colors up, all while being distracted by bogus squares, squares that the research team calls flankers. So the experiment took place under two conditions. One condition was after drinking one alcoholic cocktail. The other, after drinking orange juice, which acted as the placebo. All right, so here are your conditions again. They had to match, the test was to match colored squares on a screen as quickly and accurately as possible, keeping in mind that they were also seeing some bogus squares. Here are the conditions. Match these up after drinking one alcoholic cocktail. Match these up after drinking only orange juice. During the task, the participants sat in a magnetoencephalography scanner, which measured their brain waves, or the electrical brain activity, as they attempted to color match the squares. So they're not just watching them. They're not just looking at this hand-eye coordination thing going. They had the equipment connected to the head so that they could see what was happening, measure what was happening with regards to electrical brain activity. More specifically, the scientists were measuring the subject's beta and theta waves. The beta waves play a role in movement control. The theta waves are involved in the decision-making process. So how does one single drink affect the brain waves and the overall cognition? The study found that drinking does not appear to affect the beta waves. Again, the beta waves have to do with movement control. But when it comes to the theta waves, which are involved in the decision-making process, they discovered there was a problem. After drinking just one cocktail, study subjects showed a reduction in theta wave frequency. The frequency of the theta waves, which again measured the brain's activity with regards to the decision-making process, the theta wave frequency fell to almost half the frequency of those who only drank the orange juice. Some of the people, and again, 18 healthy social drinkers, they had some of them drink the alcoholic cocktail. The other group drank just orange juice. The group who drank the alcoholic cocktail, and again, just one, had their theta wave frequency fall to almost half the frequency of those who only drank the orange juice. In the task itself, the cocktail was found to reduce the subject's color matching accuracy by 5%, although their reaction times were unaffected by the alcohol. So the beta waves, which showed what was happening with regards to movement control, was unaffected by the alcoholic cocktail. But their ability to make decisions, as measured by their ability to match those colors, fell by 5%. The researchers say that their findings suggest that even a single alcoholic drink can impair our ability to make decisions, though we're not aware of it. Importantly, because our motor control appears to be unaffected by alcohol, we're likely to proceed with certain physical actions under the illusion that we're making the right choice. As long as I can move my hands quickly enough, well, that proves that my mind is working as well as it should be. My brain is working as well as it should be, and it may not be. Because we may be, even though we're able to move our bodies the way we should be moving them, maybe we should not be making We should not be giving ourselves the green light to even take whatever action it is that we're getting ready to take. In terms of how these results might relate to day-to-day activities, driving is the first thing that comes to mind. According to Lauren Beaton, one of the psychology graduate students, said that when driving, we usually operate on autopilot because we're usually going through the motions automatically and without much conscious thought. I mean, think about it. We're getting ready to make a left turn. How often do we tell ourselves, okay, I'm getting ready to make this left turn, and so I'm going to have to make sure that I have my left hand steer the steering wheel down while I take my right hand to the top of the steering wheel, bring that left hand back out from the bottom of the steering wheel, take it back towards the top, and just keep turning and make sure that I turn at about a 90-degree angle. We don't go through all of that. It's just cruise control. We've driven long enough that we pretty much know how to get that car where it should be. And so without giving it a lot of conscious thought, a step-by-step, play-by-play recall of how to make that left turn, we just make the left turn. However, occasionally we have to react quickly to stimuli, such as when a car cuts you off. You've got to be able to override that automatic driving mode and use cognitive control to safely navigate the situation, to try to avoid the accident, whether that means just quickly hitting your brakes or quickly hitting your brakes, quickly at the same time making sure that that left lane is clear or the right lane is clear, because it looks like you may not be able to stop in time because they cut so close when they cut in front of you. All of that requires thinking. And if the theta waves have had their ability to do their thing reduced, she says that when drivers are intoxicated, they're less successful at making quick changes. Since the study only included a small number of subjects, though, it's hard to make solid conclusions about the effects of alcohol on decision making. Still, those of us who deem it safe to drive after just, or those of you, because my preference is not to drink, so I don't. But those of you who do deem it safe to drive after just one drink, you might want to think about that again. I mean, really think about it again. All right. What else are we going to talk about today? We are also going to take a look at more about what America's Muslims have to say about life in America in particular. We're going to take a look at some of the positions that they take on some moral issues and see how their positions line up with the positions of non-Muslim Americans, Americans in general. Do you think we'll get kind of close to where they are? Do you think we'll be far away? All right, let's take a listen. We'll also be talking about life under President Trump. You know, he promised us during his inaugural speech that he was going to make life better for Americans, and including America's poor, oppressed, and needy. We'll take a look some more at what he said, but then let's also take a look at some of the proposals that he wants passed into law, signed into law, and see what nonpartisan experts say those proposals, what impact those proposals would have on our poor, our oppressed, our needy. And just before we get there, I want to ask you this question, and be honest now. Just be honest. What are your thoughts about that? Should Americans be helping our poor, our oppressed, our needy? Should we care when the poor, the oppressed, and the needy are really having their lives made tougher, harder, in some cases more miserable than their lives already are? I know it's easy for some people to just not think about that. You know, especially if, you know, people feel like their lives are going okay and the lives of most of the people they know are going okay, the lives of most of the people who look like them are going okay. They really don't feel a compunction to even care about how life is going for the poor, the oppressed, the needy. Isn't it interesting that sometimes people are being oppressed and either they don't realize it or they choose to dismiss that fact? And that's part of the reason that we can have so many people who are middle class people to sometimes find themselves amongst the poor. There are wealthy people, some of them millionaires, truly wealthy people, who have a fear of being taken back to a time when they were not millionaires. Not all millionaires and billionaires were born into wealth. Some of them got there after having experienced poverty. And I've heard some who are not necessarily billionaires. They're not necessarily multi-millionaires. They may have 2 or 3 million, which is a nice sum of money to have. But some of them express a fear of losing what wealth they do have and re-experiencing poverty. Now, if people who have a few million are aware of the fact that they can be taken back into poverty, why wouldn't middle-class people who are nowhere near having a few million in the bank, in their accounts, just assume that we're all safe? Remember, the Great Recession that we were all plunged into just a few years ago, for all practical purposes, caused a lot of middle-class people to find themselves literally poverty-stricken. And so often, so many people don't care about what's happening with those other people, as long as it's only happening to those other people. We should be caring. That's what our Creator says. Caring about what's happening to the poor, the oppressed, the needy. And sometimes oppression is taking place in stages and phases until finally the people who were being secretly oppressed, very cleverly oppressed, find that they have been taken to a point of what seems and feels like no return. How do I get out of this? And don't realize that some of the very people they stood for, so many people they supported, were the very ones who got them there. And then they become super angry at the people who are worse off than they are. We need to be asking ourselves, hey, are they oppressing me? Look, when our wages are being kept down by choice, not because they have to be, but because there are people who want the wages kept down, and our wages do not keep up with the cost of living. As I've said before, situations do not create themselves. People create the situations we find ourselves in. People are the ones who make the decision that wages are going to stay down low while the cost of living keeps shooting sky high, through the roof, into the ozone. We'll talk about this harder life a little bit more a little later today. Stay with me. I'll be right back. Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. on WTHB 1550 AM and online at speakingwith.com.